refinement of these thoughts. I'm skipping a little bit in the interest of time. Essentially, what happens is he understands and explains why Hasidus spread. And indeed, he has his own explanations, but some of them parallel some of the things that I said earlier about Sabbatianism and so on, and about the difficulties the Jews went through at the end of the 17th century and the early part of the 18th century. And then he finally goes and he meets a chassid, not a Rebbe, but a chassid, and he asks the chassid to tell him some Torah from the Rebbe, including from the Maggid of Mezrich. And he preserves the Torah that he heard from the Maggid in this volume. Some of that Torah is only preserved here. It's beautiful. But now, he heard from a chassid, so he got so excited by what he heard, he decided he would go visit Mezrich and see the Rebbe with his own eyes. I could not help being astonished at the exquisite refinement of these thoughts, that is what he heard from the chassid, the Talmud, charmed with the genius exegesis by which they were supported. My imagination was strained to the highest pitch by these descriptions, and consequently I wish nothing so much as the pleasure of becoming a member of this honorable society. Maimon wanted to become a chassid. I resolved therefore to undertake a journey, and in the diary it says, to M. M is Mezrich, where the Sukiria, B, resided, where the Rebbe, Reber, resided. I waited with the greatest impatience for the close of my period of service, which lasted still for some weeks. As soon as this came to an end, instead of going home, which is only 2 miles away from where I worked, I started at once on my pilgrimage. The journey extended over some weeks, just to get from one part of Poland to Mezrich. At last, I arrived at Mezrich. And after having rested from my journey, I went to the house of the superior, and then to the Rebbe, under the idea that I could be introduced to him at once. I was told, however, that he would not speak to me at his home at the time, but that I was invited to his table on Shabbos, along with the other strangers who had come to visit him, and that I would then have the happiness of seeing the saintly man face to face, and of hearing the sublimest teachings out of his own mouth. That although this was a public audience, yet on account of the individual references which I would find made to myself, I might regard it as a special interview. I'll stop for a minute and just explain. I could not have yichidus with the Rebbe at the time. I was told that he could come with all the other guests to Shabbos at the table of the Rebbe, sit at the tisha of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe speaks at some point. And when he speaks, listen carefully, you'll realize that he's referring specifically to you. And that'll count as if it was yichidus. I continue with the passage. Accordingly, on Shabbos, I went to the solemn meal and found there a large number of respectable men who had met here from various quarters. At length, the great man appeared in his awe-inspiring form, clothed in white satin. So here you see, the Maggid of Mezrich wore entirely white on Shabbos. Even his shoes and snuffbox were white, this being among the Kabbalists the color of grace. He gave to every newcomer his Shalom Aleichem, that is his greeting. We sat down to the table, and during the meal, a solemn silence reigned. After the meal was over, the Rebbe struck up a solemn, inspiring melody, held his hand for some time upon his brow, and then began to call out. And he mentioned the name of every person sitting at the table, the first name, and where he came from, the town he came from, including Solomon Maimon. Solomon Maimon had never met him before. I didn't reveal his name to anybody at the table. But the Rebbe went around the room and greeted everyone by their first name and by the town they came from, and so on. Every newcomer was thus called by his own name and the name of his residence, which excited no little astonishment. Each recited, as he was called, some verse from the Holy Scriptures. They were told, when the Rebbe mentions your name, you should recite any pasuk you like. Thereupon, the Rebbe began to deliver a sermon, for which the verses recited served as the text, so that although they were disconnected verses taken from different parts of the Holy Scriptures, they were combined with great skill, as if they had formed a single whole. What was even more extraordinary, every one of the newcomers believed that he discovered in that part of the sermon where the Rebbe referred to the verse that the newcomer had recited, something that specifically referred to the newcomer's spiritual life. And of course, at this we were greatly astonished.